wondered what it was like for Noah to have heard from God about what it meant to deal with this whole ark thing. And I think that the person who best encapsulated this and did so many years ago, you're going to see right now. Cosby's rendition. Now we're going to hear the Bible's rendition, and it is free of cubits. This is the sixth chapter of Genesis, which Brooke is going to read for us from the New Living Translation, and it gets put into imperial measure for us. Go ahead, Brooke.
Small animals that carry along grass, and between the verses of text. I'm sorry I ever moved. But no, I'm favored of the Lord. This is the time to know and understand. No one is a righteous man. The only man who is living on earth is time. And he walks closely fellowship to God. No one is a father, fear death, judgment comes, and death. Now God follows the earth as he comes from, and is filled with fire. God's earth is correcting the world, where everyone on earth is correct. So God says, you know, I am excited to destroy all the new creatures, for we are filled with the earth and fire. Yes, I will let them earth all along the earth. It was large, spoke, and impressive wood, and wide as a roof top, and sat in heaven. Then he struck that he saw through a sleeping period. He stood up 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. These 18 inch openings were loaded the roof all the way around the world, with the door on the front, and so the three decks inside the roof. The door was still on the house. Look. I am the head of the earth of the flood that will destroy every living being that breathes. Every single man will die, but I will confirm my promises. So I can approach you and your life, and your son and your life, who will carry every time to end, now and me, into the boat with you, to keep them alive and in blood. 23rd, so here is every time to birth and every time to end. And every tiny, small animal that stirs along the ground will come to you and be kept alive. And you share the cake on board, and that comes through your family for all the animals. So Noah is exactly as large as humanity.
Thanks, Brooke. Do you remember the first time you heard the story of Noah and the Ark? I was an unchurched kid of 8 or 9 years of age, and I'd been sent to Vacation Bible School, and the theme of Vacation Bible School that year was called a 100% chance of rain. So you had to be pretty sure that it was going to be about Noah and the Ark. And my job was to be the narrator of that Vacation Bible School. I heard Noah's story of obedience in that time, and we have heard it as well. At least twice we heard the phrase, and Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him. And I wish I'd learned that maybe when I was 7 instead of 8 or 9. When I was 7, I had ridden my bicycle to the corner store and got a great new sticker for my bicycle. And I was so excited to get this sticker that I got the sticker, I took the backing off, I put it on my bike, and I didn't know what to do with the backing, so I just threw it away, and I went home, and I was so excited, I said to my mom, Mom, look at the new sticker I got from my bike, and she said, that's great, son, what did you do with the backing? And I said, give me a minute, would you? And I went downstairs to see my grandmother, who was living with us at the time, and I said, Nana, do you have a piece of paper about so big, coincidental to the size of the sticker? Nana didn't know what she was getting in for, so she went and found herself a piece of paper, and I cut it to make sure that it was the right size, and I went back upstairs to my mother, and I said, here it is. And she said, that's not the backing to your sticker. You threw it on the ground, didn't you? Yeah. Yeah, I threw it on the ground. And I have never littered again to this day, and I'll tell you why. The consequence of my having both littered on the ground and lied to my mother was that I was instructed to go and pick up every piece of litter on my street for 2 city blocks. I have never littered since. And I can tell you that I would love to inflict that punishment on people whom I see littering to this very day. It was about obedience. My mother had said, don't litter. I littered, and there were consequences to be dealt with. She was older, she was wiser, she could see beyond what I could see. And Noah's story for us is an example of obedience at its best. It's also a story of obedience at its least obvious. and it's most illogical. Noah chose obedience. The mockers didn't worry at clouds. They didn't really care too much when they started to see a little rainfall. But when the rain kept up and the flood started, they remembered Noah, 600 years of age, building this monstrous boat in a place where it made no sense to build a boat. They remembered their scorn, and it was too late. Unlike Noah, they didn't understand the importance of obedience in fair weather. In Genesis chapters 6, 7, and 8, there are two kinds of people. There are the people who obeyed and the people who did not. And each met the appropriate fate. Well, what can we learn from this? This is an old, old story, but what can we learn about obedience from a story that is this old? Well, this is the first point, if you're a note taker. God sees more than we do. God sees more than we do. Chapter 6, verses 11 and 12 say this, "Now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on the earth was corrupt." We are just a point on God's continuum of time. God sees all things. He is omniscient. And yet God, the Bible says, regretted making humanity. Isn't that sad? That for this time, God said, "I'm sorry I made these people." Imagine how people's wickedness and disobedience broke God's heart. We think we can see further than we can, and yet we can't even see around a tall building if we're walking around the corner. But God can. We think we know more than we do, even after we leave our teenage years. The smartest scientists understand how little we really do know, however. Consider a couple of things Albert Einstein said. Now, Einstein said, "Two things are infinite, the universe and human stupidity, and I'm not sure about the universe." He also said this, "The eternal mystery of the world is its comprehensibility." Yet when people want to understand the future, what do? They go to soothsayers, or they go to futurists, or they go to a New Age store, or they go to their horoscopes in the newspaper, rather than the simpler alternative of trusting the living God revealed in Scripture, who understands all time and all space. We can be obedient to God because He sees more than we do. Secondly, God's commands are specific and have a greater purpose than we may understand at the time. In chapter 6, verses 15 and 16, we see the dimensions of the boat being given. God gives the dimensions of the ark. In chapter 6, verses 19 and 21, God tells Noah what to do with the animals. God understands all of this perfectly, and Noah has no clue. All he does is respond with obedience. I'm sure there must have been in Noah's heart, if not in his mouth, at least once that phrase, "Right." Noah doesn't understand. He just obeys God. It's like when we're kids, we ask our parents, "Why?" And at least in my day and age, the answer very often was, "Because I said so." And that had to do. And our parents always know better than we do when we are young. There is just no two ways about it. They told us to take our castor oil, to eat our vegetables, not to touch the hot stove. And they knew better. Well, I don't know about the castor oil part, but they knew better otherwise. Even when we're dealing with controversial issues with kids, like, for example, sex outside of the marriage covenant, some people will say, "You shouldn't have sex before you get married or outside of marriage because you will feel icky." Well, guess what? Lots of people who engage in sexual relations outside of marriage do not feel particularly icky. So if that is what they're told, and they don't feel icky, the next conclusion that they can draw is, what if my pastor or my parents are wrong about other things too? It's not about consequences so much as it is about obedience. The reality is that there are certain things we do well not to do simply because God in Scripture tells us to do them or not to do them. We don't understand God's or even our parents' reasoning all the time, but God encourages our obedience because He has a greater purpose, as do our parents. It's not a matter of consequences as much as obedience. See, sex outside of marriage won't make you feel icky. It's just not God's design for sexual relations. The issue isn't just consequences, it's obedience. We want to please God, same way we want to please our parents. And Scripture tells us that we should please God. And the Scripture tells us that we should honor our mother and father in the fifth commandment, that first command with a promise, because it says that you will live long in the land the Lord your God gives. Well, what is God's greater purpose here? God wants to give humanity a fresh start toward accomplishing His eternal purpose. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, which is going to show up, says this. I want you to say this with me. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. God wants to give us a hope and a future. He has good plans for us. He has an eternal purpose for us that will give Him glory and reveal His Son to us. And the wicked people in Noah's time couldn't understand this. And you know what? Actually, neither could Noah. But he obeyed. He just knew, as a man of God, that he had to be obedient. And as a result of Noah being obedient, every creature was saved. Even the mosquitoes. What happens when we're obedient? This is point number three. God's response to our obedience is both to lead and to follow. To illustrate this, Selena is going to read chapter 7 for us.
Rise more than 22 feet above the highest peak. all the living things on the earth died. Birds, domestic animals, wild animals, small animals that scurry along the ground, and all the people. Everything that breathes and lives on dry land died. God wiped out every living thing on the earth. People, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and the birds of the sky. All were destroyed. The only people who survived were Noah and those who lived in the boat. And the floodwaters from the earth down here in the village.
Thanks, Selena. My favorite verse in all of chapter 7 is verse 16, the latter part of verse 16 that says, "Then the Lord closed the door behind them." He was their protector ahead and behind. He is omnipresent. God follows and he leads. We follow his lead, he follows our following. Psalm 121 says, "The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore." Or Proverbs chapter 2, verse 8, it says that the Lord guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. When God closes the door of the ark after the appropriate people and animals are in, God is saying to Noah, "I've got your back." God is saying to the human race, "I've got your back." The obedient were saved and the rest died, except presumably the amphibians and fish. Chapter 7, verse 23 says, "The only people who survived were Noah and those with him in the boat." Noah's obedience, did you get this? Noah's obedience saved him and his family. Your obedience can be a witness and a help to save others. For 5 months, the Bible says the floodwaters covered the earth. Well, what happened after that? This is chapter 8. "The God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and livestock with him in the boat. He sent a wind to blow across the earth, and the flood waters began to recede. The underground waters stopped flowing, and the torrential rains from the sky were stopped. So the flood waters gradually receded from the earth. After 150 days, exactly 5 months from the time the flood began, the boat came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. 2.5 months later, as the waters continued to go down, other mountain peaks became visible. After another 40 days, Noah opened the window he had made in the boat and released a raven. The bird flew back and forth until the flood waters on the earth had dried up. He also released a dove to see if the water had receded and it could find dry ground. But the dove could find no place to land because the water still covered the ground. So it returned to the boat, and Noah held out his hand and drew the dove back inside. After waiting another 7 days, Noah released the dove again. This time the dove returned to him in the evening with a fresh olive leaf in its beak. Then Noah knew that the floodwaters were almost gone. He waited another 7 days and then released the dove again. This time, it did not come back. Noah was now 601 years old. On the first day of the new year, 10.5 months after the flood began, the floodwaters had almost dried up from the earth. Noah lifted back the covering of the boat and saw that the surface of the ground was drying. 2 more months went by, and at last the earth was dry. Then God said to Noah, "Leave the boat, all of you. You, your wife, and your sons and their wives. Release all the animals, the birds, the livestock, and the small animals that scurry along the ground, so that they can be fruitful and multiply throughout the earth." So Noah, his wife, and his sons and their wives left the boat. And all of the large and small animals and birds came out of the boat, pair by pair. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. And there he sacrificed as burnt offerings the animals and birds that had been approved for that purpose. And the Lord was pleased with the aroma of the sacrifice and said to himself, "I will never curse the ground, never again curse the ground because of the human race, even though everything they think or imagine is bent toward evil from childhood. I will never again destroy all living things. As long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night." It was more than a year before they got out of the boat with all those animals. When could they leave? God would give them a sign. This is the fourth point. We also learn from this story that when a particular task of obedience is complete, God will give us a sign. First, Noah sent out the raven. The raven is a carrion eater. It eats dead carcasses. So it kept flying around until it could see something it could eat. It would, once the water started to recede, there would be lots for it to see, of course. Then he sent a dove. Doves are herbivores. And it came back immediately. There was no place for it to land. There was nothing for it to eat. Then again, the dove went out and came back with this olive leaf, which said there was new growth from the depth, and so the time must be drawing near for them to leave. Again, he sent the dove, and this time it didn't come back, a sign that it was time. Then Noah waited yet another 2 months after opening the back door before exiting, waiting for the land to dry and for the word of the Lord. And this is what is in your notes with these arrows. This is really important. The sign is accompanied by God's word. The sign is accompanied by God's word. In chapter 8, verse 16, God told Noah to get out. So what did Noah do when he got out? According to verse 20, it says that he worshipped God. He set up an altar. He gave thanks for the provision, the grace, and the protection. And God's response is such a beautiful thing in verse 21. I will never again curse the ground because of the human race. Even though everything they think or imagine is bent toward evil from childhood, I will never again destroy all living things. It may have been closed at times, but never since has God destroyed the world by flood. Point number 5, our obedience brings God's unmerited favor to humanity. Because Noah was faithful and obedient, God decided never again to cause such a flood. Obedience brings the fulfillment of a promise. God's grace, God's unmerited favor toward all humanity came because of one man's obedience in fair weather. The flood story has other parallels in ancient Near Eastern literature, but none is as old, none rings as true, or shows forth the faithfulness of the Lord as much as the biblical account. The writer could have supplied myriad details about the erection of the ark, the assembling of the animals, but he didn't. This is what one commentator has said. He said, Noah's rather long and complicated exploits are condensed into these words. He did it. He did it. Not a note about his expertise in construction and zoology. By condensing Noah's considerable achievements into an unbelievably skeletal statement, the author concentrates on one fact only, Noah's obedience to and successful completion of the divine mandate. Noah didn't worry about the why. He just obeyed the word of the Lord. And we're disinclined to do this. We're not by nature obedient creatures. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 3 says, we are by nature children of wrath like everyone else. God, in his great mercy, chose to give us a fresh start thanks to Noah and his great big boat and his willingness to be obedient while the sun still shone. If we choose obedience in the good times, it will be easier to be obedient in the hard times. If you were to go down to chapter 9 and verse 13, you would see this. God says, I have placed my rainbow in the clouds. It is a sign of my covenant with you and with all the earth. One time when I was a science student in university, my mother asked me about the meaning of rainbows. And I explained to her the physics of reflection and refraction, the whole Roy G. Biv, the color spectrum. And she said to me, oh, I thought it was about God's promise never to flood the world again. We were both right, but thanks to Noah's obedience, Mum was more right than I was. I want to encourage you to take a step of faith, to pledge to be obedient to the Word of God in every circumstance by relying on His Word in Scripture. Study it, know it, and know how to be obedient. We can't be obedient to the Word of God if we don't read and study the Word of God. It's why we have Life Connect groups. It's why we have devotional times. We have these opportunities for God to speak to us through His Word. And if we will read and follow and be obedient, we will be able to carry on. And something you can do is this. Every time you see a rainbow, renew that commitment, renew that pledge to be obedient to the Lord, no matter the circumstance. Because the sun was still shining when Noah built that ark.